Today on NFL Fantasy Live, we're telling Santa our fantasy wish list in our Schmedium sweaters. James, fits nicely. What's on yours?
Thanks, Max.
Skittles for everybody. Gotcha.
It's Wednesday. You know what that means. It's time for Stardom and Sit'em. And despite the fact that I'm wearing this ugly Christmas sweater, I'm going to tell you why you may want to bench Tony Romo this week.
Elliot, how do you feel about regifting?
I think if it's like the Civil War chess set, you're cool. You're good.
Great. Well, we've got a gift for you. NFL Fantasy Live starts right now. Welcome to NFL Fantasy Live, presented by Bose, the official fantasy football show of the National Football League. I'm James Coe. He's Elliot Harrison on the far side, and the Fantasy Hall of Famer in his beautiful Christmas cowboy sweater. That would be Michael.
Yours
Fabiano.
Looks like an air freshener.
Actually. All right. It's an extra schmedium as well. We're going to be joined by Molly Karam and Marcus Grant in just a bit. Don't forget to tweet the show at NFL Fantasy. Again, Elliot, you've got an interesting story as to why you chose the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, yeah, that's right. My dad was a Dallas Texans fan. When they came to the league, they moved to Kansas City, became the Chiefs. My dad stayed a fan his whole life, the Kansas City Chiefs. So I'm representing.
There you go. Nice stuff. All right, listen, it's week 17, rather. And in regards to the real playoffs, the fantasy playoffs are pretty much done here. But there's still a few teams still in the hunt in the real life game. The Ravens, Chargers, Falcons, Panthers, and other teams still vying for different playoff seeding, still playing for something. So what can we expect from players that are still in the playoff hunt? And we'll start in the NFC South. Fabs?
Well, that's where you want to look at the top starts. Because if a player doesn't have anything to play for, or maybe he's going to miss a quarter or two, like potentially the
that's
Cowboys.
That's what you worry about right
That's
there.
The big concern. So look at Cam Newton this week. Look at Matt Ryan this week. Kelvin Benjamin. These guys all have something to play for, which is the NFC South title. And moreover, Harrison.
Oh, boy.
Moreover, there's going to be plenty of production to be had in this contest. Could be a high-scoring game.
Yeah, you know, last year when the Falcons and Panthers teed it up in Atlanta at the end of the season, Matt Ryan was on his butt the whole game. Hopefully that doesn't happen. The pass protection holds up. Julio Jones is going to present a problem for that Carolina secondary. That said, I expect the Panthers' defense to go out and compete. They've been playing a lot better the last three games, giving up 17 points or less, James.
Yeah, it's very interesting because, you know, they started the season. I don't even want to say start the season. The first 15 weeks of the season, they were atrocious.
Yeah,
people
no bueno.
Were putting up points and yards on them, but yet in the last 2 weeks, I tell you what, they've been better. The Atlanta defense, though, we haven't seen improvement. Cam Newton should be in line for a nice day.
They did stop Drew Brees last week, but
very
what I like about
week.
Cam Newton is that this is going to be a guy who's running with the football now.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last couple of weeks, he has put up over 140 rushing yards. He has had two rushing touchdowns. And that's where Cam Newton derives a lot of his fantasy value is as a
runner.
You like that?
What's going on with you? Let's take your SAT 20 years later.
I got about a 1,200 on that.
Hey,
I don't even think that was any good either.
Man, yeah. I hope that Cam Newton sat in front of the TV Sunday night and watched what Russell Wilson did.
Mm.
Keep yourself under control. You can run the ball. Just be responsible about it. Know when to throw it away. Know when to live to play another down. Know when to take off.
No question about it. And Cam has been one of the best quarterbacks in fantasy in his career because of that.
It's super surprising also considering that he's coming off of a car accident, broken bones in his back. It's been amazing. All right, another injury,
Speaking
a quarterback.
Of
yeah, exactly. That would be Phillip Rivers. What should we expect? San Diego, yes, in the playoff hunt. They need a win. What does Phillip Rivers do this week?
All right, Fabs, you didn't like him last week. Do you like him this week?
No, I don't. It's a tough matchup. The Chiefs are allowing an average of fewer than 15 fantasy points per game to quarterbacks this year. And it's hard for me to trust Rivers. I know this is a situation where the Chargers need to win, but Rivers is a little bit scary for me because even despite the fact that he had a good game last week,
mm-hmm.
his numbers over the last 6 weeks overall, not good.
I love you, but I'm going to disagree with
That's
you.
Fine.
I think Phillip Rivers rises to the occasion in these exact kind of games. He did it last year. He did it last week. I think he's going to do it again, at least 17 fantasy points for him, if not higher.
It's shocking also how well Antonio Gates has played this
season. It really is. It really is.
There are also those teams that have more or less pretty much locked up where they are in the playoffs, and they're not really fighting for anything. Their playoff positions are set. Patriots, Colts, Cowboys, all those guys come to mind. So from those teams, What are we? Who are some stars that we're looking at that may be resting here? And we'll start with your team, the Dallas Cowboys.
And honestly, the Cowboys need a miracle to get a first round bye. I mean, Green Bay and Detroit have to tie. Seattle has to lose. It's not going to happen. So what the Cowboys could do is play Romo and play DeMarco maybe for a quarter, maybe two. Sit him on the bench in the second half because the Cowboys really don't have any way, in reality, to move up. And DeMarco Murray, I think, is the guy that you worry about the most, Elliot, because of that hand.
I agree with you. You know, there's a little bit of precedent here in 2007 when Jason Garrett was offensive coordinator. The Cowboys were in this situation.
I was at that game, by the way.
At Washington, and who ended up playing at quarterback?
Brad Johnson. It was raining, it was cold, and we lost.
Bad.
Yeah.
How about Andrew Luck and the Colts? The Colts really, I mean, truly, honestly, not playing for anything here. Andrew Luck was a huge disappointment in Week 16. Does he even play in Week 17?
I think he does, and I think it would be really not smart to not play him because, quite frankly, he hasn't played well the last 3 weeks in a row. I believe
that's a great
four touchdowns,
point, man.
Five interceptions. Those aren't Andrew Luck numbers.
No.
The last 3 weeks, 52% completions.
Strange.
Does he really want to go in the playoffs on this kind of run? I don't think so. I expect him to play most of the first half.
Right, but even just playing
is not going to be enough.
That's not going to help you in fantasy. It makes your risk.
Agreed.
T.Y. Hilton, same thing. Coming off the hamstring.
Yep.
Even if he plays, as he play the whole game.
They've got to rest T.Y. Always rest a wide receiver's hamstring.
Andrew Luck, his entire career has been a slow starter, but he's always picked it up late. Those last 4 weeks, as you mentioned, he just hasn't picked it up late. Those garbage time points, he just hasn't gotten those points. So it's been interesting to see. All right, for more discussion on players that are playing for a playoff spot and will be extra motivated in Week 17, head over to NFL Now. Be sure to visit NFL.com/now to download the app for free. But for now, let's join the rest of our NFL Fantasy Live crew and send it over to Molly and Marcus.
James, thank you kindly. He's NFL.com fantasy editor Marcus Grant. I'm Molly Karam here with you, and we're talking daily fantasy. You ask, what is that? Basically, what you do is you complete a lineup based on salaries and get it all under a salary cap. The best part, it resets each week, so you screw up, you start over. So let's get to some draft bargains for this week. Matt Asiata having a huge game on Sunday, not racking up the yards, but getting the touchdowns and a nice matchup against the Bears.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing about Asiata. He's not a guy who's going to get you a lot of yards. Mm-hmm. Don't expect him to put up 100, 120 yards or anything like that. But he scores touchdowns in bunches. I mean, that's what he does. You see that the 9 rushing touchdowns this season all came in about 3 or 4 games because that's just the way he plays. Plus, I like the fact that, honestly, Jay Cutler is back this week for the Bears. He turns the ball over a lot. That could leave the Vikings with some short fields. So Asiata has a chance to punch it in. And the value, pretty low. $5,000 for Matt Asiata. That's a pretty good bargain.
We're going to stay with that same team and up the price just a little bit. $5,900. Teddy Bridgewater coming off arguably the best game of his career and also getting this decimated Chicago defense.
Yeah, Teddy Two Gloves is what I've been taking to calling him the last couple of weeks. He's
playing better.
You look at all the rookie quarterbacks who stepped in and played, and Bridgewater has been maybe the most consistent of them. And he's found some nice weapons. I mean, we thought it'd be Cordarrelle Patterson. It hasn't been. But Charles Johnson, Greg Jennings have stepped up and played well. And Bridgewater looks like a nice option, especially, as you mentioned, against that Bears secondary.
Another guy that could be potential great value that some of you might not have heard of, Devontae Freeman. He could have a nice role against the Panthers, especially if Steven Jackson can't go.
Yeah, absolutely. We have seen a lot more of Devontae Freeman in the last few weeks and see him there able to break through the line and have show his good speed. He's a guy who catches the ball well out of the backfield as well. So not only can he do what Steven Jackson does as a running back, but he's starting to take a lot of what Jacquizz Rodgers did as a pass-catching back out of the backfield. And certainly he's not a guy that a lot of people pay attention to. He's not a big name, but in a big game against a shaky defense, Devontae Freeman has some potential to produce.
Yeah, and $3,600, so great value.
Great price.
And now let's switch it up now to the guys who should absolutely break the bank and you should pull the trigger on. ODB has to be Odell Beckham Jr., a no-brainer, right?
Absolutely. I don't know how you don't pick Odell Beckham at this point. I mean, everything the guy does has been fantastic. Everything he touches seems to turn to gold. So, yes, $9,600, it is a steep price.
Yes.
He is one of the highest-priced wide receivers on the board. But if he's doing stuff like this and running with nobody else on the screen along with him, I don't know how you don't take a chance on that guy.
This next one I'm a little confused with just because it's Rob Gronkowski and he's $7,400. They're hosting the Bills just because New England doesn't have anything to play for.
Yeah, they really don't. I mean, they have locked up the number one seed. They've got home field throughout the playoffs.
They got it all.
Bill Belichick is not the kind of coach who sits his stars even in games that don't have a whole lot of meaning. He likes to play those guys. I mean, we saw in previous seasons when the Patriots have everything locked up, you'll still see Tom Brady and Gronk and those guys out there for the better part of the ball game. So even though there's a chance maybe those guys sit, I'm willing to take that chance, especially because when you look at tight ends, who else are you really going to
go with? Yeah, slim pickings. No, very true. High risk, high reward.
Absolutely.
With that one, Mark Ingram looks like a tremendous play getting the Bucks defense.
He really does. And look, I know on the other
side, they have nothing to play for either.
The Saints don't have anything to play for either because they are out of the playoffs at this point. There's nothing going on for them. But for Mark Ingram, there is still some value here because this is his last chance to put something on tape before he hits free agency in the offseason. This is a guy playing for a new contract. We talked about it all year. Guys in contract years really have a lot going on. Plus, the Bucks, you see that they're 110-plus rushing yards in six of their last seven games. They are vulnerable. This is a chance for Mark Ingram to shine one last time before the offseason.
No, very good point. You don't want to leave a bad taste in
people's
mouths when your future is on the line. And money, money, money. Okay, here it is. So Eli Manning there at quarterback. Boom Heron, one of the running backs. We talked Matt Asiata and Odell Beckham Jr. Cole Beasley. Interesting play there.
Yeah, you know, well, I went big with Odell Beckham, but Beasley's a guy who's been a bigger part of the offense the last couple of weeks for the Cowboys.
James Jones, and then obviously finish things off there with the Texans defense. Looks like a nice little lineup there for Week 17. All right, be sure to set your DVRs for our nightcap edition of NFL Fantasy Live. Marcus and I have you covered. You're staying, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. We'll need snacks. We'll keep you up to speed on the latest injury news and updates for your roster. Tune in 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific, right here on NFL Network. Just get your eggnog out, people. We've got fantasy through the playoffs. That's right. Fantasy Playoff Challenge is here, and we've got some sleepers to take you through the Super Bowl. Will Matthew Stafford deliver a fantasy championship as he takes on the Packers and Lambeau? Where does Cam land on Michael Fabiano's stardom sit-em list? Find out that next. Stay tuned. If you think your fantasy season is over, it's not. Now you can continue your fantasy season throughout the NFL playoffs and have a chance to win the trip of a lifetime to Super Bowl 50. It's called NFL Playoff Challenge. Sign up today at NFL.com/playoff challenge. Fabs, explain to the people how this game works.
Well, basically what you want to do is first pick the teams that you think are going to go to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And you want to compile the most points. There are multipliers every single round. So if you pick, say, someone like Tom Brady in the first round, even though the Patriots are likely to have a bye with the first round, they can still compile points by getting Tom Brady double points in week two if they win, triple points in week three, which is championship week, and then, of course, quadruple points in the Super Bowl.
Okay, so you set up your lineup each week, then it...
Correct. And if one of your players loses, you lose that player, but you can replace him with another one, but you start all over again with the multiplier.
And it's free, and you can go to the Super Bowl. So it's pretty cool. So
let's. I want to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Yeah. All right, let's take you through the AFC playoff picture as of now. And, of course, we know the Broncos and the Colts have clinched their divisions. Patriots have locked up everything. Home seating for
sure. Not as much up for grabs this year as usual.
No, et cetera. And the Steelers also in there. Let's look to the NFC now. And as you can see, we've got the Lions in. We've got the Cowboys in. Both the Packers and the Cards.
South.
Seattle, if they win this week, will get the division against the Rams. So that's going to be a fun one to watch. But before we start diving into playoff challenge, as you know, the teams that make it to the Super Bowl, as you alluded to, get four times the amount of points. Guys, who do you see going to the Super Bowl?
Well,
Elliot,
I mean,
Fabs?
It's going to be the Patriots and the Seahawks. We're taking it easy. We're taking the easy road because we're going to take the likely number one seed and the other number one seed. Go ahead.
You stole my Super Bowl pick.
I did
in the
not.
Meeting. By the way, I think Atlanta and Carolina are going to tie. I have New England.
Why are you punishing
I've had
us?
New England over Seattle this whole time, and I got to be honest, Seattle has made me wonder if they're going to beat New England after the way they played against the Cardinals. But, I mean, Tom Brady's a great pick for this, Beth.
He is. The one thing that worries me is that how many times have we gone into the playoffs thinking the Patriots are going all the way and they get knocked off?
Happen.
You know, the Ravens beat and something happens and the Patriots lose before they get to the Super Bowl.
No, I mean, I think that's the fear because Tom Brady in the playoffs recently has not been great. But you look at the rest of the AFC and who is there really? I mean, the Broncos, certainly we've lost a lot of faith in them with the way Peyton Manning has played
no
recently.
No trust in the Steelers?
You know,
not buying?
I think if there's a team that can be a dark horse, it is probably the Pittsburgh Steelers. But just you look at the way teams have played this year, that the Patriots seem like the choice in the AFC.
You're still Patriots Seahawks?
Patriots Seahawks. I think at the beginning of the season I was Patriots Packers, but just the way the Seahawks have come on recently, it's hard to go, especially if the road runs to Seattle.
You're going to lose your Niners fan card, by the way.
No, but see, I keep my USC Pete Carroll fan card.
I see how that works.
You
okay.
Know, it's like that. You know, but yeah, I like the Seahawks. I mean, they have turned it on at the right time of year. I mean, early in the season, they had injuries in the defense. They weren't playing quite so well. But now, Russell Wilson is playing his best football. They've saved Marshawn Lynch for the best time of year. He's starting to get healthy. I mean, as long as his tummy isn't rumbling coming up this weekend, you know, he's starting to get better right now. And even with a group of no-name receivers, Russell Wilson in that offense finds ways to prosper.
All right, so as we can see here, the Patriots obviously locking up that one seed. Do we all assume the Seahawks are going to beat the Rams and do that as well?
Yeah.
All right, you're looking at a list of the number one seeds meeting in the Super Bowl. There's quite a few, gentlemen.
You remember that 1977 Super Bowl?
Our historian, what do you think of this, Elliot?
Well, just looking at this list, it doesn't happen as often as you think. No. Look at the disparity.
It's deceiving.
From 1993 to 2009.
Mm, you're right.
That's a long time. Yeah. That's 15
and
years.
And we went
some
through
of my prime
stretch.
Years.
We went through a stretch where there was a lot of wild card teams going to the Super Bowl, like the Giants and the Ravens and the Cardinals.
Right. Yep.
So,
and winning.
That can
so you
happen.
Guys aren't sold on the one seed thing.
No.
All right. So with those teams that are making the playoffs, which fantasy players do you see as sleepers for the playoff challenge?
Can I go first?
Yeah,
or
please
is Fabs
do.
Going
I'm
going
to go first.
All right,
you
go first.
I'm going to go with Brandon LaFell because I think the Patriots are going to go to the Super Bowl. And LaFell's been one of the best receivers in New England. In fact, he's having a career season, 70 catches, almost 900 yards and 7 touchdowns this year. And right now, Jun Edmonds banged up. He's coming off a concussion, didn't play last week. So LaFell is a guy that if you think the Patriots are going all the way and you want to get that multiplier, that quadruple multiplier, he is a good sleeper.
I agree with you. And because Justin Forsett's emergence, I feel like Brandon LaFell has not gotten quite the credit for being a great waiver wire pickup in fantasy this year.
He helped me win the Pro Football Forecast League in the industry this year. He was good.
Elliot, you have your eye on Big Ben here?
You know, Ben Roethlisberger, I really debated this one between the Packers defense and Ben Roethlisberger. And I just think Roethlisberger is a more fun pick to go with. It'd be really, as you were saying, if the Steelers could make it, or one of you guys was saying it would be a lot of fun if they make the Super Bowl.
I was.
And I think that the Steelers have a shot based on the way their offense is playing and their pass rush has gotten a lot better. That's been the problem for them is defense. And, man, how productive have we seen Ben Roethlisberger be in spots this year? He plays big in big games.
You know, Marcus, there's another quarterback who's been playing really well this year.
Yeah, there has been. I can't believe you left it to me, Fabs, to actually talk about a Dallas Cowboy.
But I know.
I used to hate Tony Romo.
Antonio Romero Romo. The guy's been fantastic this
Why
year, you know?
Why does he not go by that name?
I don't know, because that sounds awesome,
it
though, does. Right? Antonio
it.
Romo would be the best.
Name.
But, yes,
be
you know, I admittedly have been one to pile on Tony Romo when he's thrown some unfortunate interceptions.
Pile on me on Twitter.
But this year he's been good, so I will give you credit. Your guy, Elliot, he stepped up and he's played well. We saw a lot of it certainly last week against the Colts, but the Cowboys could be sneaky in these playoffs, and if they win a game or two, which is certainly possible, Romo's going to be a big part of what they do, and getting the ball to Dez Bryant
imagine,
and the guys, it could
imagine
happen.
If you see Cowboys Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Oh, keep dreaming.
Oh my God, that would be great.
We know, it's on your
that
Christmas
would be pretty
list.
Cool.
Elliot,
would
we
be.
Saw a lot of Wilson to Wilson this
yes.
past weekend.
Yeah, you say sleeper, so I'm trying to pick a sleeper, and I think Seattle is a legit Super Bowl pick. We just went through that. All right, so if you go through Seattle, is Seattle's defense a sleeper? No.
No.
Is Russell Wilson a sleeper? No.
No.
Marshawn Lynch a sleeper?
No.
That leaves Luke Wilson. All right, maybe you could talk to me about Steven Hauschka after the way he boxed those kicks the other night. Usually reliable, but Luke Wilson really did a number on the Cardinals. And if teams are going to keep covering him with a linebacker, don't you think Seattle's offensive staff is going to try to isolate him in coverage? And you know what? Obviously, he's earned Russell Wilson's trust. Again, we're talking about a sleeper. This is a deep sleeper. And you're trying to pick guys that you think will go to the Super Bowl so you can get the multiples.
You know who likes that pick? His brother, Owen Wilson.
Oh,
that was good. Let's talk about another Seattle Seahawk here, though. Doug Baldwin, he was targeted a team high 11 times last week. Jermaine Kearse getting sidelined.
You guys are putting coal in my stocking for that joke.
Yes, we are.
If you think the Seahawks are going to the Super Bowl, it's the same situation as Brandon LaFell. You want that multiplier, the quadruple multiplier, the big one. And Doug Baldwin leads the Seahawks in just about every single receiving category this year.
Good plays. Well,
there you go.
Guys, these sweaters were good plays.
Absolutely.
They're killer.
Are you going to play back tomorrow?
Fantastic. All right. More stylish.
Thank you. I like the V-neck. If your Super Bowl is week 17, then you don't want to miss Michael Fabiano's last stardom sit-em of the season. I know, we're just as sad as you are that the fantasy season is almost over. And we put a new spin on our two-minute drill. It's time to look forward to next year's draft and figure out where you're going to pick some stars and busts from 2014.
It's Wednesday on this week 17, meaning it's time for Michael Fabiano's final edition of his weekly Start 'Em and Sit 'Em list. You can check out the full list at NFL.com/start-sit. Brings a tear to my eye, pal.
It does.
Man. All right, there you go. We're going to start the running back position. Jeremy Hill has really emerged despite splitting carries with Giovanni Bernard.
Well, that split has been less of a split lately because he's had 47 carries combined in his last two games, and he's really become the centerpiece of the Bengals' backfield. And that offense, he scored 4 touchdowns in his last 5 games. He leads all rookie running backs in rushing yards, in rushing touchdowns. And remember how we were all about Bishop Sankey, including myself? Yeah, it's been Jeremy Hill who's been the best rookie running back. The Steelers, they have been tough against the run, but to me it doesn't matter. He's matchup proof. It's a big game for both of these teams. Jeremy Hill's the centerpiece. Start him this week against Pittsburgh. A running back that I would sit is Trey Mason. And Trey Mason's been easy to predict. Bad matchup, keep him on your bench. Good matchup, like last week, start him. This week, he's playing against the Seahawks.
James, that would be a bad matchup, friend.
By the way, I love the sweater. And is there a worse matchup for any position than playing in the Great Northwest against Seattle? He has scored fewer than 7 fantasy points in 2 of his last 3 games. The Seahawks have allowed the second fewest fantasy points to running backs in the last 4 weeks, giving up an average of fewer than 10 points per game. That's not just a one running back. That's all of them.
Ugh.
So, Trey Mason, nice rookie season. The arrow is pointing up for you, but sit down in week 17.
All right, so Jeremy Hill, a start, as you mentioned, Fab. So is Mark Ingram. Jonathan Stewart has emerged for Carolina. Andre Williams there filling in for Rashad Jennings. Sit him. Joique Bell, Isaiah Crowell, Frank Gore, despite having a nice afternoon last week, has a little bit of a tougher go this week.
That's right.
All right, we're going to transition to the wide receivers now. ODB, you mentioned matchup proof. This guy is basically matchup proof, and he's taking on a very soft Eagles pass D.
Yeah, basically, this is a no-brainer, right?
Yeah.
You're starting.
How big is he going to go?
You're starting Odell Beckham Jr., but a lot of people on Twitter were saying, keep him in stardom this week, because I have had him in stardom basically since this streak started. And, you know, some people are superstitious out there.
Superstitious. So
they're like, if you keep him in the column as a stardom, well, he's going to keep producing. And Odell Beckham has been unreal. Over 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns in his last 8 weeks. The Eagles have allowed the second most fantasy points to wide receivers this year, giving up an average of over 26 points per game. They've given up 20 receiving touchdowns. That's tied for the third most in the league. This guy is going to be a first-round pick next year. I'm not going to pick him in the first round, but people are all about Odell Beckham Jr. and the hype. A player that I would sit, Sammy Watkins. And I swung and I missed on him last week. Bad matchup. He still put up pretty good numbers, but he scored for the first time in 7 games. Hmm. And if the Patriots continue to play their starters into Week 17 like they typically do, what does that mean? Sammy Watkins could be very lonely on Revis Island. So keep tabs on what you're hearing about from New England this week, because they have nothing to play for.
Right.
But Bill Belichick always plays his starters regardless
of
playoff positioning. So if that's the case, Revis against Watkins, I don't like it.
All right, another rookie to go along with Odell Beckham Jr., Kelvin Benjamin, Mike Evans, and Mike Wallace. Almost all rookies there. That's amazing. Sit him side, Eric Decker, no surprise, Larry Fitzgerald, DeSean Jackson.
1 touchdown in his career against Dallas.
All right, there you go. I'm a little bit surprised there. But, hey, listen, we'll go to the quarterback position. Cam Newton, well, he really might be Superman because the dude broke bones in his back and then still balled out less than 2 weeks later. He's dumping 22 fantasy points last week. Does he do it again this week?
He's doing a little of this, my friend, right? And Cam Newton is someone who has 2 things going for him this week. Number one, he's playing for something, okay?
In
week 17, you want to focus on that. And number two, he's playing Atlanta, okay? And the Falcons have not been good this year defensively, although they did hold Drew Brees in tackle. What I really like about Newton, he's getting back to running the ball, James. In his last 2 games, 146 rushing yards and 2 rushing touchdowns. That's
broken
pretty good.
Back and all.
That's where his value comes from. He's not the greatest passer in the world in terms of putting up points, but if he can run and if he's going to run, that helps you in championship week. He's got something to play for. Start him against Atlanta. The quarterback that I think a lot of people are worried about is Matthew Stafford this week, because last week we liked him. We were gaga over him against the Bears, and he put up a stinker, and
hey,
now
dude,
he's got to play the Green Bay Packers. 14 touchdowns, 20 turnovers in 8 career games against Green Bay. He's thrown for over 270 yards once in his last 5 games against the Packers, and Green Bay has allowed the fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks in the last 2 weeks. And if you look at his numbers in Lambeau Field, he had one huge game. He had 5 touchdowns. The other 2 games, 1 touchdown apiece. And let's be honest,
can you trust Matthew Stafford right now?
I don't think he can.
He just can't do it. He has been one of the bigger disappointments, especially if you remember in week one he had a huge game against the Giants. It's been very inconsistent production ever since.
No doubt about it, especially against Green Bay. There's just a lot of concern there. All right, start side, Eli Manning, again, taking on Philadelphia. Eagles, Matt Ryan. And Cam Newton, both in that same game, both pretty solid starts. And Mark Sanchez, a good start as well against the New York football Giants. All right, on the sit side, Joe Flacco, Philip Rivers, Tony Romo.
And let me talk about Romo here real quick.
Yes, please.
This is not about the matchup. If this was a game that meant something to the Cowboys, Romo would be a must start.
Okay.
But he might not play more than a quarter or two, and that worries me.
You figure he and DeMarco Murray might be taking some time
rest these guys for the playoffs. Did I mention the Cowboys are... NFC East champs.
Okay.
That's right, why I'm worried about Romo and all of the Cowboys this week.
All right, there you go. And coming up, we're going to turn an eye towards next year. We're going to go rapid fire to tell you where you should draft breakout studs like Odell Beckham Jr., Andrew Luck, and Russell Wilson. And you think it's too early to talk 2015 sleepers? As McRanklin would say, wrong. Adam Rank stops by for his list of way too early sleepers coming up next.
Still to come on NFL Fantasy Live, you are invited to our White Elephant Party. We're looking ahead to keepers for next year. And guess what? You don't even have to bring a gift. Tom Brady and Tony Romo might even show up. And all we want for Christmas is Alfred Morris to get more goal line carries next season. That and the rest of the fantasy wish list is ahead. And it's time for one last heist. This time, Ranks 11 joins the party to help steal you some sleepers in next season's fantasy draft. You know what it is, NFL Fantasy Live. Welcome back into NFL Fantasy Live, presented by Bose. He is Elliot Harrison. He's Marcus Grant. I'm Molly Karam. You guys looking fabulous in your sweaters. I'm really enjoying the holiday spirit. We're all feeling it. And for those of you who asked your questions on Fantasy Genius, our experts in their sweaters are about to answer. So if you want your question answered on the show, real simple, all you need to do is submit them at NFL.com/genius. Our last time doing this in 2014.
Yeah.
It's our fantasy two-minute drill where we put 2 minutes on the clock. We rip through as many Fantasy Genius questions as we can and try to give the people what they want, answers.
Especially around the holidays.
Yes, let's do it. Yes. All right, where should you draft Andrew Luck in 2015?
We talking 10-team league?
Sure.
10-team league?
Yep.
Bottom of the third round at the earliest.
Wow. 0.36 points puts a little damper on my opinion.
About a month ago, I would have said first round, but the way he has slumped in the last few weeks, I think I dropped him probably to mid to late second round.
Me too, especially after you lost the fantasy championship thanks to him. Not bitter, though. Where should you draft Odell Beckham Jr. in 2015?
I think I'm going to wait on him till late second, early third, but I know he's going to go off the board in the first round.
He's that sexy pick.
I would go 18th overall.
Wow, that was very specific.
Yeah.
Thanks. I love it. It's all about the details.
That's what I aim for.
Where should you draft Russell Wilson in 2015?
No.
His stock has to be rising.
No, but still no earlier than the fifth round for him.
No way,
no
dude.
I would
take him right around where I would take Andrew Luck in the third round.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. All right, where would you draft DeMarco Murray?
Ooh, I think he's still in the first round, but I think he's bottom of the first round.
I go top five.
Why is he dropping? We don't have time.
I don't know where
he's
going to be next year.
Young, good offensive line.
Don't know where he'll be next year.
That O-line, legit. All right, where should you draft Alshon Jeffrey in 2015?
This is a tough one.
Tricky because we don't know the situation with Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
Now, I'm looking at you.
Oh, you're looking at me?
Yeah.
I'm still going early second round with Alshon Jeffrey. Come on.
Who's going to throw him the ball?
I feel like
he set you up. If you jump, I jump.
Jimmy Clausen got him the ball.
Okay. I'd go third round for Alshon Jeffrey.
All right.
That's a huge difference.
Marshawn Lynch in 2015.
Boy, that depends so much on where he plays. But if he were to stay in Seattle, he'd be the fifth overall pick.
Absolutely. If he's still in Seattle, he's early first round.
All right. What about Gio Bernard? With Jeremy Hill there, it's getting a little tricky.
Nowhere in the first four rounds for me. Maybe fifth.
Yeah, I think that's about right. I mean, this year he was, a second-round guy.
Darren Sproles. I think that's what he's going to become.
Jeremy Hill moves up to, I think, the second round.
There you are.
And Gio Bernard drops.
Sometimes Marcus surprises you with really good analysis.
Be nice. It's the holiday season.
Blind squirrel.
Where would you draft C.J. Anderson?
I want C.J. Anderson early second round.
That's a lure. I probably wait more towards the back end of the second round. Now, I know we're splitting hairs here, but when you're in the second round, there's
a big difference between early
and late.
No doubt.
Good stuff, guys.
Of course.
Thank you.
See you again next year with this one?
Yes,
all right, sounds good. We started to spin things to 2015. We've got a few more segments. And so is Adam Rank with some sleepers for next year. Take it away.
Hey, everybody. Adam Rank here. Time now for a too-soon look at some sleepers for next season. We start with Trey Mason. You might debate me if he really counts as a sleeper, but we all remember Zach Stacy, right? But I like Mason for the coming year. He started third on the depth chart, but became the number one guy as he improved in all facets of his game, including pass protection and receiving. He'll be even better next year. Of course, a new quarterback and offensive coordinator wouldn't hurt either. Let's stick to the running backs and Devonta Freeman. He showed a lot of burst in his TD run against the Saints. Fantasy enthusiasts probably would have liked that for this season, but I'm not really sure what the Falcons' deal was. Freeman would have done great things if he was given the opportunity, but it's not like the Falcons needed it since 7 wins gets you the NFC South. Freeman is going to have a monster 2015 season, and I vow to draft him way too early. How about a tight end for you? C.J. Fedorowicz will be a nice find. He's already made a name for himself, and that helps no one this year. He will become a name to watch next season. Bill O'Brien helped mold tight ends in New England, and he will do it again in Houston. He might not be another Rob Gronkowski, but another Owen Daniels would suffice. And how about one more running back? Carlos Hyde. I know we say it every year, but this is the year that Frank Gore moves aside. And Los Hyde is ready to take the mantle. He looked great in his limited work this season, and he's going to be a monster as the number one back next year in San Francisco. Since we're on the subject of San Francisco, I wanted to give a special shout-out to Grant and Bill Emfinger. You guys have been amazing this year. I know it wasn't easy. We all appreciate everything you do. So if you look right there on the fireplace, Jane got you tickets for the Cardinals and 49ers game on Sunday. You guys are going. Merry Christmas. I'll see you soon.
Merry Christmas, Rank. See you on the flip side. We're not going to break out the milk and cookies for Santa, but next, our experts reveal what's on their fantasy Christmas wish list for 2015. Later, NFL Fantasy Live is going to get a little festive. We're breaking out the party gear and having ourselves a white elephant party fantasy style. Don't want to miss it. I brought a good gift.
Be sure to check out NFL Fantasy Live on Friday. We're doing it big because it's time to dish out the hardware for the annual Fantasy Football Awards as voted on by you, the fans. We'll reveal the winners for Bust of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Fantasy Draft Bargain, and more. So be sure to check us out Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern. We're going to be wearing something a little bit nicer than these sweaters.
This is a great sweater.
These are gorgeous.
What are you talking about? That's a very good point. All right, it's Christmas Eve, and we're going to break out our wish list for Santa things. What do you mean yours is not? What are you talking about? Things we want for the 2015 fantasy football season. Fabs, get us started off.
You know, I have a wish for something right now.
Right now? Right here?
I want to hear Michael McDonald sing a Christmas carol.
Who among us can sing Michael McDonald?
I don't know. But go ahead and give your other wish, and we'll see if we can dial that up.
Well, my other wish for 2015 is that Jeremy Hill will be a featured back for the Cincinnati Bengals, because if he does see the lion's share of the carries in that backfield, boy, we're talking about a guy who could bring back first-round value. And I was a huge fan of Giovanni Bernard, and I still am. He's one of the most versatile running backs in fantasy football and in the National Football League. But it seems like he is moving more into that role of a Darren Sproles type, or maybe even a Danny Woodhead with a lot more talent, while Jeremy Hill becomes the featured back, the between-the-tackles bruiser and the goal line back on a team under Hugh Jackson that is going to like to run the football. And you could argue, even this week coming into the Steelers game, this is the centerpiece of their offense because A.J. Green is banged
up. Don't go running towards a North Pole.
There it is.
Santa's going to give you a call. Hey!
Michael McDonald, you could, give us a Christmas wish list for 2015, pal.
I feel like interceptions in fantasy for the quarterback does not count enough. I mean, it's such an important part of football.
Marcus, what's more important?
What's more important, a passing touchdown in an NFL game or an interception? What changes the game more?
Well, an interception generally changes momentum more.
Bingo. So I think an interception should be the absolute value
of
a passing touchdown, a minus four. This is the leaders. Interception leaders this season. This is a who's who list. Once you get past Blake Bortles in your mind, look at some of these names here, fellas.
Andrew Luck.
Peyton Manning, Drew Brees. So many interceptions. Yeah. So for me, look, we play fantasy football because we like football. And so I think it should just be a little bit more mirrored. I think guys like Jay Cutler should not be good fantasy quarterbacks. He's not a good quarterback in reality. But you know what? Jay Cutler's been solid most of the year in fantasy. Most of the year.
But if we counted his interceptions, how solid would Jay Cutler really be? He would be, and it would mirror more like football.
Now, but to piggyback on your point, though, that should mean fumble should be a negative six.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far. but I will say this. In fantasy, if Marshawn Lynch runs for 100 yards, he gets 10 points.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. 100 yards really helps you win a game. But with the quarterback position, it's so skewed.
Okay.
I mean, you put up garbage points as a quarterback. Remember when Carson Palmer was a really good player with the
Raiders?
He was
the king of fantasy garbage, man.
How about Kyle Orton with the Broncos back in like 09? They're down 42-10, and he just goes out there winging it.
I think if you did that, though, you'd have to almost increase touchdowns to 6 points. Mm-hmm. Because
cookies.
Listen, I mean, you looked at Jay Cutler, right? How many interceptions he had? 18. I mean, that's negative, 70-plus fantasy points? I mean, that's a lot
of points. But if a guy stinks in reality and shrugs his shoulders and doesn't look like he wants to be out there, then maybe he shouldn't be a good fantasy
Dave
quarterback.
Dave Craig would have been a lousy fantasy quarterback in your scoring system.
Down. We'll go back to the running back position and give us your fantasy wish list for 2015.
I really want Alfred Morris to get goal line touches. Please. I mean, really, is that too much to ask? Is it too much to ask for Washington's offense to get inside the 5-yard line and not give it to Darrell Young or toss it out to Roy Helu? I mean, I just want to know what Alfred Morris did to make people angry at him. I don't get it. He's so good between the 20s. He's been the most consistent thing about that offense over the last couple of years. While RG3 has struggled.
Yeah.
While they're shuffling in Colt McCoy and Kirk Cousins. And
Pierre Garçon has been up and down.
Can't forget how to score anymore.
Exactly. Thank you, Michael. Because when you look at this, career low, 253 rushing attempts for Alfred Morris. But this is a guy who goes out, runs hard, picks up good yards, tough yards for this team. This guy went a calendar year without a 100-yard rushing game. I mean, it's insane. I don't understand.
Do
and it's cross coaches, too.
Do you remember his rookie season?
It was incredible.
He was awesome. He was one of the five best running backs in fantasy because he was getting goal line work.
And this has gone – it's cross coaches. This went from Mike Shanahan to Jay Gruden, and it's been the same story.
I only agree, and I know we got to get to your guy. I only disagree with you on one point. His rookie season, RG3, was a threat to run the ball. And that makes the defense play 11-on-11. When you have a guy like Drew Bledsoe at quarterback, you're not worried about Drew Bledsoe running read option on you or getting out. So they always had an advantage strategically when RG3 was on the field.
The statuesque.
There you go.
Drew Bledsoe.
I don't know why. I just had to pull somebody.
All right. Look, my one is going to be Marshawn Lynch. Stay weird, my man. Hey, listen, the guy, look, I get his post-game interviews rub some people the wrong way in the media. But for me, look, I've been in a locker room. There's been guys who have been more combative. There have been guys that are more rude. The fact that he gives you this weird answer, I kind of like it. I think if you're writing a game story, if you're writing an editorial, that's something that you can actually still use. So I'm not really sure why guys in the media getting all upset with Marshawn Lynch. And the thing is, you know how you're going to stay weird? You got to stay in the league. I hope he doesn't retire. I hope he stays with the Seattle Seahawks. I hope he keeps doing what he's doing. Because, look, 300 touches this year. And most importantly, he's third among all non-quarterbacks in terms of fantasy scoring. He has been an absolute beast, if you will.
I know, I agree with you. I think what makes him great somewhat is his eccentricity, seriously, because look, football's a grind, man.
Yeah.
These guys get started in April. When you're a running back, you've been doing this since you were in the fifth grade. You got to do something to keep it fresh. You know, maybe this keeps the game fresh for him, and he does things his own way.
Can I make one wish for Marshawn Lynch?
Please.
If he leaves Seattle, bring him back to Oakland.
Okay.
Bring Marshawn home. Bring him back to the
college
town.
Cal grew up in Oakland.
Bring him back to the town.
Destroy his fantasy value.
Were you upset when Mike Gallego went to the Yankees?
I was.
Yeah. All right, listen. Coming up, we have a Fantasy Live White Elephant Gift Exchange. Fantasy style. Tony Romo, Tom Brady, both had fantastic seasons overall. But would you keep them or exchange them for next year? Our guys will debate.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our very own NFL Fantasy Live White Elephant.
Oh, yeah.
Keeper Party. So for those of you who aren't familiar with a White Elephant Party, we'll break it down for you. Each one of us has brought a gift to the party. And first, James is going to pick one randomly and open it. Then Marcus, Elliott, Fabs, and myself. Here's the fun part. After each person opens their gift, they can decide whether or not they want to keep it or exchange with another present that was opened. We highly recommend you guys try this at home. It is a lot of fun.
I'm going to start us off.
Take it away.
How about this? Here we go. I'm going to go with the box that I think Adam Rank would like because I think this has heels in it. No? Does this have a size 14
heel?
I would think you would want to stay away from a box with heels in it, right?
All right, let's take a look here. I think I know what this is. Look at this. This is a nice one. It's a Tony Romo
jersey.
No. It's an NFC East champion quarterback.
Tony Romo jersey. What do you think, pal?
I think Tony Romo is he's a good fantasy quarterback. This year he's been an outstanding regular quarterback. You see what the Cowboys have done. But in terms of a keeper, I don't know. There's so many quarterbacks out there you can go get. I mean, Romo's a guy who's always been one of those fringe QB1, kind of low-end QB1, high-end QB2. A guy that you don't mind having on your team, a guy that's going to produce for you. But in terms of using a keeper spot on him, there are a lot of other players I would rather use a keeper spot on, especially because Romo's a guy who will be hanging around, literally, death taxes Tony Romo in the 9th round. That's how it works. So I'm just not going to use a keeper spot on the guy. So
very good point.
That one is yours, my
friend.
All right,
you know, I'm going to hold on to this one.
All right, cool.
That means you're up, pal.
I am up. All right. You know, red, gold, red,
silver,
gold.
Ah.
All right, here we go. We'll keep it going here with the red boxes.
What do you got?
Oh.
Look at this.
It is Sir Thomas Patrick Brady.
Nice.
That's pretty sweet.
Yes. In other words, Giselle's husband.
There you go. Yeah. So talk about him, my man.
Talk about it.
Hashtag talk about it.
Here's the thing about Tom Brady. I'll let you hold on to this.
All right, cool.
Tom Brady is getting up there. And in terms of being a keeper, it really depends on how many players you keep. If you're keeping 5 players or more, Tom Brady's likely to be a guy that you're going to keep. James Coe is not happy about this topic because he dropped Tom Brady after 4 weeks this year. But if you're in a league where you only keep 1 or 2 players, I think because of his age, you're probably throwing him back into the pool of available players. And I'd rather go with a younger quarterback, clearly, like a Russell Wilson, like an Andrew Luck, someone like that. So you can enjoy Tom Brady.
Guys that can run around a little bit.
Yeah, he's got a big head and big eyes. He's like an anime character.
Mm-hmm. He does.
It's like a Tamagotchi.
Totally, right?
His side picture looks like the little guy on Davy and Goliath. Remember the Sunday claymation show?
This is actually Tamagotchi Brady.
Can I actually take the bag here?
Yes, you can.
Go for it. I'm going to go with the bag here.
Uh-oh, look at you.
Let me see.
The gold bag.
You're going off script. You're going off menu.
Wow, there's a lot.
They got
the hairline wrong,
with
though. But
that's Drew Brees' hair.
And, I know. And
it's got the birthmark,
they
too.
They put the birthmark
nice.
On him.
What
do you think, Harrison?
I think he looks like he has Jimmy Graham's hair.
He does.
You know what? I'm okay with keeping Drew Brees. I'm okay with it. But I'm kind of leaning towards your analysis with Tom Brady. Depends on how many keepers you have. If you only have a couple of keepers
not
in your
Jimmy
league.
Not to Jimmy Graham, though.
I wouldn't. Whatever James has done. If you only have a couple of keepers in your league, I would not keep Drew Brees. That said, if you get penalized, whatever draft pick you do in your league, and you were able to get Drew Brees in the 5th round or lower, then I would keep him.
I think Drew Brees is coming off. Well, Drew Brees is really coming off of a hellish season, and even then, he's been pretty good. He's going to be a top 1 or 2 round pick next year. So yeah, I could see him being a keeper.
Are you stealing him?
Are you
going to
steal it?
I'm not going to steal it. My only concern about Drew Brees, not this doll, is that it will be year 15 for him coming up at some point.
It's amazing. Right?
It really is.
That's kind of amazing.
Yeah,
it is amazing.
All right.
So that means you're up, Pelt.
I'm going to go front side here, so everyone in America can see my Chiefs jersey or sweater here. This is ridiculous. Schmedium.
Schmedium. Extra schmedium, actually.
Oh, boy. What is this? Is this Billy Bronco? Is that right?
Look at that.
Yeah. All right, so, Molly, I think the real question here, and really to all you guys, Peyton Manning, is he somebody you want to keep after what we've seen?
After watching Monday Night Football against the Bengals, where he got picked off how many times? 1, 2, 3, 4.
I don't want to relive this nightmare.
Sorry, guys, but I have to say it. The same storyline we say every year, Peyton Manning in the playoffs. I know we're not there yet, but we're getting closer.
Fantasy
no, I don't
real.
Trust
it doesn't
him
matter.
At this point. Maybe it's victim of last week. I'd probably go C.J. Anderson.
Hey, Peyton Manning will be 39 years old. Yep. Next season. Yep. And look, there's not a lot of quarterbacks in NFL history that excelled 39 and older.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
So,
is it my turn?
It is your turn.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, buddy.
It's amazing. Nobody's kept anybody.
So nice of you guys to get a gift.
What do we got?
Oh, snap. of the month.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look at who that is.
Michael Fabiano's calendar.
By the way,
I didn't know you had those
I didn't know
abs.
You were working out like yeah. that, man.
And the suspenders.
I think the suspenders
I haven't
nice
looked that good in
you know
about 15
I
years.
I actually already have a calendar.
Show them the suspenders.
So I am going to swap.
you can't ever go wrong.
All right,
you
we should go swap.
I love jeans.
They're going to go
That's going to do it for us for today. Snuggle up on Christmas Day with NFL Fantasy Live. Santa Claus is going to be stopping by to decide which one of our experts has been naughty or nice. Join us on NFL Network at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific.
Calendars.
We'll see you then.
Merry Christmas.
There you go.
Happy holidays.
Cowboys cheerleaders.